I was just thinking about that song and asked the question, when will there be this people who give everything to God and every day that they give them their heart, soul, and mind, and strength? And I've become convinced that that's going to happen, and that's going to happen, you know, at the resurrection when we're all redeemed and God, you know, establishes his the perfect heavenly kingdom. Everything evil is cast out. You know, there's no tears, no crying, no pain. That's when it's going to happen, I'm convinced.
I want to proclaim to you some good news, brother. You're falling way short of the mark. That's when we're going to see him face to face. But he's going to have a people that do more than cause him shame. He's going to have a people that will look at the body of Christ and see his love and see his power, see his grace and see his overcoming power and provision. And he's going to have a house that is greater than the former house. If the day of Pentecost looked good to you, as you read your Bible and you see a people that actually obeyed God, that actually obeyed what Jesus taught about counting none of their possessions as their own, that actually obeyed what Jesus said and lived in the Spirit of Jesus, and they were all in awe, and they were together, they were devoted. 3,000 people, brand new Christians, were devoted to the apostles' teaching, devoted to breaking of bread, devoted to fellowship, that there was great grace on them all and great power shook their existence there. Those were mere mortals and none of them were waiting for a second coming. The second coming is definitely the graduation, and there's going to be a lot of heartache between now and then. Jesus himself endured an awful lot of heartache, even though he personally was filled with glory. But Jesus didn't fall short of being Jesus in the process there. He had tears in his eyes, and those tears were wiped away by his Father when he graduated, when he put on a resurrection body. And certainly there is the ultimate provision and the ultimate fulfillment on that day. But if you read your Bible, it's not too hard to find the fact that this is how all men will know that you're my followers, by the agape that you have for one another. The gospel of the kingdom will go into every nation, and then the end shall come. There's scripture after scripture after scripture that indicates God wants more than poverty, lukewarmness, a bunch of half-hearted people that go to church, and a little tiny core group in the middle of that, that everybody's getting by the skin of their teeth, their prayers aren't answered. All the teachings of Jesus and the apostles about prayers being answered if they're asked in his name, and the power of the Lord Jesus present when they're gathered in your name, an unbeliever falling on his face and crying out, God is truly among you. All of that stuff is God's intention for people now. Ephesians 3:10 says the manifold wisdom of God is made known to the principalities and powers, not by the second coming, but through the church. I will build my church that the gates of hell won't prevail against. Not my son will come back and all of you poverty-stricken, poor, pathetic people will eventually get to go to heaven and everything will be okay. He's building a church that the gates of hell won't prevail against. Paul I know, Jesus I know, and the body of Christ I know. And so Satan flees. That's his intention. And yeah, there'll be heartache and there'll be pain. It's not some kind of social utopia that God's going to bring about. But he does mean to have a people that express the spirit in the life of his son. And he gave a down payment of that, a deposit of that, to prove that it could be so in a bunch of fishermen, a bunch of uneducated, unlearned people. He demonstrated that his power resting on yielded people can turn the world upside down. It's not squeaking by the skin of our teeth attending services, but the city being shaken by the power of God in the manifestation of his body, the church. If the body of Christ is the body of Christ, then it's not going to be some also-ran, some little religious organization with a bunch of individuals. If it's the body of something else, fine. But if it's the body of Christ Jesus, there's going to be a radiance and a glory shining like stars in the universe, Philippians 2, that is unmistakable to the world around it, that they would know, one, by his glory, that the world would know that he's truly the Son of God and not just some philosopher from 2,000 years ago. So I understand where you're coming from, because most of the religious world believes exactly that. We'll just have to scrape by until we go to heaven, and somewhere over yonder there's a mansion over the hilltop, and we're going to make it eventually by the blood of Christ. But Jesus did more than pour out his blood for forgiveness. He poured out his spirit to finish his work, that we would do greater works than he. he did. That may not be interesting to you. That may not be something that causes your heart to burn and fire to well up in your bones. But I know a lot of people who do believe that the Word of God is true about that. And he will have a people that'll manifest the life of Jesus, that he won't be embarrassed. The body of Christ filled with the Spirit of Christ, and the world yawns. The world didn't yawn when Christ was manifested the first time, and he's not going to yawn when it's manifested in his people now either. I'm not talking about some kind of political thing where you know, Joel will run for president and Mark will run for vice president and we'll put in a lot of new laws and, you know, we'll get rid of abortion by legislating it and all that stuff. Jesus didn't operate that way either, but I'm talking about people that emanate the life and the glory of the Father. It's manifested in a very real and tangible way. If fishermen can do it, if mere mortals like those guys that were, you know, divided in themselves, arguing about who's the greatest, if those guys could turn the world upside down, it's pretty silly for us to just sit around and think that, you know, eventually someday we're going to go to heaven. He poured out his blood to save us. He poured out his Spirit to overcome the evil one. This is the reason the Son of God was manifested, to destroy the works of the devil, not to forgive them, but to destroy them, to make a public spectacle and an open show of his victory, to parade forward, as Paul said, to have a triumphal procession that just glories in the enemy being trampled underfoot. Romans chapter 16 says that Satan will soon be crushed under your feet. Under your feet. Not just Christ, but also the body of Christ. So that's his intention, and I'd like you to reevaluate your thinking in light of the whole message of the New Testament. I know where you're coming from, and you know, it hasn't been all that long ago, not that many years ago, when that used to be my only hope too, was heaven. But I believe that the Spirit of God and the testimony of Jesus was that it would be better that he leave, that his Spirit could be poured out, than if he stayed. So if we're waiting for the second coming as our only hope, it is the blessed hope. It is the final fruition, the final coronation, the feast of God in the heavenlies. It is the final amen to all that God has done. But in the meantime, Jesus said, I better leave. My presence here isn't near as good as the presence of my Spirit here. It's better for you that I go so that I can send to you the Spirit of God, that you can have what I had. The power that I walked by, you can have that too. Ephesians 1, the power that rose Jesus from the dead can dwell bodily in his people if we had the faith to live that way. As long as we're brushing that under the carpet, living in personal compromise and sin ourselves, we'll never see that. But by faith, God did say that the nature of Christianity is Elijah is a man like us, a man just like us, and yet he shut up the heavens for 3.5 years. Now that's the way he means for his people to live too, and an overcoming kind of life rather than a surviving kind of life. So ponder and pray about that. If that irritated you or something, the way I answered you, then I'd ask you to forgive me, but I couldn't let that go by without saying God does mean to manifest his Son in his people. And Jesus isn't boring then, and he won't be boring as we yield ourselves to him now either.